Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Channel. This is SAVE, Sisters Advocating Via Economics, and yes, we are just fine. This is Season 1, Episode 2 of a special broadcast hosted by yours truly, Beverly Black, and made possible by generous sponsors and guests to help bring a wealth of knowledge about finance and business. Today's guest is Michelle Berard, and she is the CEO of her own company. She is a radio personality and an author. Now, what I love about this sister is this song by Mary J. Blige, Just Fine, describes her because she doesn't let nothing get in her way. Okay? And she's going to tell us all about her business ventures. She's innovative, creative, and she's tech savvy. She keeps it moving, and that's what I love about her. Now, on her website, you can visit her and find out all about her at michelleberard.com, www.michelleberard.com. And in her own words, besides her overcoming adversity, in just a couple of years, I transformed my career and doubled my income using my entrepreneurial spirit within the corporate environment. I also started the side hustle that eventually became a real business for me. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics and my sister from another, Michelle Berard. Queen, how are you doing?
I am so good, Beverly. Thank you so much. You make me sound much, much, much cooler than I am.
Girl, you know you cool. You are the bomb.com. Now, I could not wait to sit down and have this chat with you. We go way back. You have come into my life and have been, I have dubbed you the wind beneath my wings on many occasions. We have business together, but you are quite the innovator when it comes to doing business. So first and foremost, let me just ask, how's everything in your neck of the world? We are in a crisis, a pandemic, and other, nations are also going through the same thing. The world is on the same page for once. However, we're all doing differently in our own right and dealing with it in many ways. I choose to continue to innovate and let creativity be born out of struggle. But how are things on your neck of the woods? All is well here.
All is well. It's really interesting because, you know, I have a senior in high school, and so school has been effectively over for him for 2 months, you know, because it's impractical to get a lot of work done. But other than that, I mean, we've been blessed to not have anyone in the immediate family, you know, touched by this illness. And I myself, you know me, I see something like this, and I feel like, oh, we got to learn about it. We got to talk about it. So along with our friend Julia, you know, you're very good friends with Julia as well. I've even started a new podcast to talk about the pandemic in particular and some of the political and economic issues around it and just to kind of keep people informed, you know, of what's going on because there's so much news, there's a lot that you can miss. So for me, it's been okay, but I know a lot of people are struggling. You know, a lot of people are really suffering. So, you know, my heart goes out to them.
Yes, indeed. Our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to everyone. And shout out to Julia Black, my sister, so named. We're sisters in spirit. We have not met. And I just cannot wait until, because you and Julia have continued to innovate in so many different ways. It's like, okay, it's like a garden and you pick the flowers that you want to bloom in which season you would have them come forth to bloom. So in regards to the podcast that you're doing, and then we can just kind of work our way backwards. Let's start with where you are now and then just kind of walk back to the several entities that you have going on business-wise, and then just go from there, because I really want people to take away from this that we all are going through different, you know, experiences during this crisis and pandemic. But at the same time, there are resources within ourselves that we can tap into our creative genius. Shout out to Genius is Common, one of our sponsors, along with you, Michelle. Thank you for being one of our generous sponsors and always being supportive. So you have different entities. If anyone chooses to go ahead of the show, they can visit michelleberard.com/companies, and we'll discuss these entities. I'm so proud of you and what you're doing. So give us a synopsis. Since this show is 1 hour, we'll take 15 minutes for each of your entities, starting with your podcast, and then we'll work our way over to the three companies listed on your website, and that will take us through the business journey that is most prevalent with you. So for the sake of being informed and enlightened, give us a preview about your new podcast, the title, the inception, just, you know, everything, the next 15.
Okay. Well, what I should start with is that, you know, I've worked with you to start my original podcast, you know, Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. And the vision with that podcast was really to help people to understand that we have more in common than we do different. I believe that the reason that we have so much divisiveness in the world is due to fear. And we tend to fear that which we do not know. So if we hear other people's stories, we hear other people's journeys, we understand that we have much more in common as human beings than we do different. And we all want the same things. We all want to be loved. We all want to live safely and securely. We all want to have prosperous lives. We want to be healthy and happy. And I think by hearing about different people's journeys as they've become authors or business people or coaches, what have you, I think it helps us to understand that everybody has some struggle to overcome, and we can see that commonality. And hopefully that's my little effort at kind of combating the divisiveness that I've seen in the United States in particular over the last several years. Well, with this pandemic coming around, and I really don't typically get into politics in the podcast. I've had a couple of times where I've gotten into politics, but I felt absolutely compelled to say something about this. And I didn't know why, but, you know, I follow directions. When my spirit moves me, I go ahead and move. And so I went ahead and started this, and Julia came along for the ride with me. Thank you, Julia, again, for just having faith in what we were putting together. And we started doing this. We were doing it every day for a while, especially when things were really hot with the news. And it's really a live stream. I'm calling it a podcast. We do have the recordings. We are going to put those up and make them available to people, but it's a live stream. And we've switched the schedule to doing it Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays now. And what we're doing is we are scouring the news for information that we find interesting, things that we think people need to know about. Partly because there are still things happening in the background while this pandemic has everybody inside. And while everybody's frightened and worried about that, and the 24-hour news cycle tends to focus on that, the government is doing things. You know, for example, we found one state where they were tightening anti-choice laws. We found recently that just a couple days ago that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans were trying to, and succeeded actually, in voting down an amendment to the Patriot Act renewal that would have limited the FBI's ability to seize or view your browser history, your website browser history, without a warrant. And I think it's important that U.S. citizens remember, I mean, we have to remember that things are still happening. You know, we need to know that in Louisiana there is a prosecutor who has fought to keep a man who, for all intents and purposes, he's innocent at this point. There was faulty DNA evidence. They couldn't convict him, so he has not been found guilty of anything. He's not been sentenced to anything. They are going to probably retry him, but he should be at home now. And the government, the prosecutor down there, has fought to keep him in prison in the middle of a pandemic. So someone who is, as far as the law is concerned, whatever your perspective on the case is, it doesn't matter. As far as the law is concerned, this man is innocent or has not been found guilty, and he should be home with his family during this pandemic. Instead, he's in a prison where COVID-19 is sweeping through the prison. So we need to know these things are going on, and that's really the vision with Shelter in Place, hashtag Pandemic 2020.
Wow. You know, and I'm going to have to put you down for Incarcerated Lives Matter at the end of June. July. That way we have much more to discuss, and I know some of the dust would be settled with all of the activities happening with the pandemic, but and with our response to it. And I do want to first go back to the beginning. I appreciate so much that when you and I did connect initially, our kindred spirits just came right together, and you were willing to make the leap and start your own radio show. And I was honored to be a part of that journey and have your show launch here on Tribe Family Channel. And what I loved most about what you did here with Tribe Family Channel on Somewhere in the Middle is that you had your show, you used this for a launching pad, and you continued to innovate and grow and go. And so you were here for the first season. And I was just, for me, it was like, okay, this is a launching pad, and this sister is taking it to another level and higher heights, and is not afraid to reach for high hanging fruit. And I was like, I love that, because you're techie and innovative. And of course, you know, you have personality, you're an author, businesswoman, CEO. And so you were taking the tiger by the tail, and willing to do something that you expressed to me that you had never done before, but you're willing to give it a try. And so I commend you that you not only gave it a try, but you innovated and took it to another level. And that's what it's about. It's about building, growing, and being unafraid. And for me, as a sister CEO myself, our ministries, our work is our ministry. Like you said, you started the live podcast with Julia, listening to the Spirit, being obedient. And by the same token, this being my ministry and being obedient, ministry work is about building people as well. It's not about catching an attitude and any type of feelings and whether somebody is, you know, doing something different or better than you. It's about walking in the assurance that this is what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be. And you grow and you learn to work with other people. We didn't know each other from a can of paint, and we weren't. Mm-hmm. We learned to work together, to be supportive of each other, and we have introduced each other to so many different phenomenal people that it has really truly been a real match made in heaven when it comes to sister kindreds getting together and doing and taking care of business. And so I commend you. And then also with you and Julia, same thing, coming together, taking care of business, kindred spirit. Well, and so just to commend you about that.
I appreciate that because I mean, really, like you said, I had not considered podcasting. And, you know, it's funny because when I went to college, my first year of college, I actually was a communications major. And I also studied journalism later on, went to the Poynter Institute for Media Studies down in St. Petersburg and wrote for the school paper and all that, but I never pursued journalism as a career. And I feel like everything comes around in some way. And even though this is not direct journalism, this is more news and commentary, you know, where we are aggregating mm-hmm. the news. It's it's definitely one of those things where you kind of are coming back around to where you were most at home, you know?
And that is very true. That is very true. Well, it's funny for me also because one of my high school courses was radio broadcasting. And I never would have thought that after starting Gumbo for the Soul Publications and being pursued for an interview that me and that sister lady who has now gone on with the creator, Rachel Berry, a.k.a. author Lady Serenity, who would invite me on her platform and then be the catalyst to Gumbo for the Soul Radio, which morphed into Tribe Family Channel before, you know, her going home. But like you said, you come back around to your roots because I never would have thought that I would go on the air. I've always been a writer and a communicator also, but my trade has been in the electronics industry that I retired from. And so after all of that and starting publishing and then from publishing, wanting to give voice, a continued voice to the books. And then from there, you know, it's grown and blossomed into different partnerships with others, including yourself. Now, with your current podcast, you know, you hit the nail on the nose, my sister, because one of the politicians years ago said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And mm-hmm. they are not letting this crisis go to waste. They are doing all kinds of finagling behind the scenes. And I salute what you and Julia are doing because this is one of the things that I felt that the mainstream media should do is to break up into sections and segments and everyone focus on certain things so that nothing gets missed. But with everyone looking at the same target, can't nobody see all this other stuff that they're finagling and stitching and undoing and dismantling and infringing upon civil liberties and rights and government and changing laws and acts and bills and all kinds of things. So you and Julia have really hit a real great pocket, a gem, if you will. And so would you like to further expound on that, or would you like to move on to urban book editor writing and editing? You have several companies, and that's another attractive entity that has been in place since 2012.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to say one thing that's really important about shelter in place, hashtag pandemic 2020. Our mm-hmm. goal is to help people be better citizens. That's really what, you know, we want to be more informed, we want to be aware. Like you said, there are a lot of things going on in the background. But we also need mm-hmm. to think about how this pandemic is being used to change our society. That's a mm-hmm. critical thing. Education in the United States will probably never look the same again. The way that we interact with one another will likely never be the same again. It only takes 90 days to establish a habit. We are 2 months into shelter in place and wearing masks and things like that. That means basically after this, this is likely to be have huge impact on how we interact with other human beings. We may never shake hands again. We may never, and I just want to say for the record, I don't know who was in washing their hands. I wash my hands 30 times a day before this. I don't even understand how they have to teach grown people to wash their hands. But that
you
aside,
preach.
I was like, I'm not afraid of catching things because I wash
catalyst.
My hands.
And I couldn't understand myself, like, okay, how is that the catalyst? I can understand the emphasis, but, you know, I'll put it this way. There is little in my life that has changed except for wearing a mask and giving and social distancing. But as far as hunkering down, as far as innovating, as far as running business, and you hit the nail on the nose, education will not be the same. People greeting each other will not be the same. And for me, my assessment is this is a paradigm shift. Nothing is going to be the same. So how we behave during the shift is going to be predicated upon our survival and our well-being on the other side of this. We're going to come out of it, but nothing will be the same. So you have to prepare your mind now for all these different changes, all this flurry of stuff going on, and to keep a lid on it, you know, keep a healthy mental disposition, and just know that, you know, you're going to be okay. There will be a huge change in your life. Nothing is going back to the way it was. Nothing. Accept it and get on. The quicker you get on to accepting that nothing is going back to the way it was, the faster you'll start developing a new normal for yourself and your disposition in the background of the world as it changes. See, two different worlds, your world and the world in the backdrop. Okay. Yeah. Now, how we respond to that world is how is going to be predicated on how we survive. So thank you so much, Michelle Berard, ladies and gentlemen, on SAVE, Sisters Advocating Via Economics. And when I tell you this sister is innovative and techie and on fire and a businesswoman, educated and highly favored, okay? She doesn't play when it comes to listening to her creator and doing what she is ordered to do. And so that's why she and her business partner, Julia Black, started a podcast to keep us aware. And can you give us those hashtags again? Because that's phenomenal.
So shelter in place, hashtag pandemic 2020. That's the name of the live stream. And you can find it on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:30 Pacific time at rebrand.ly/shelter-in-place-livestream. So, and we also have on Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Kudos to you and Julia for keeping the masses informed and enlightened. And tell us about some of the other things that you have going on before we go to this quick commercial break.
Well, I guess we could I could say something about Urban Book Editor. Urban Book Editor, I started in 2012, and it's really because I was a volunteer reviewer at a website called the Urban Book Source, and they would send me books, and I would read them and review them, and I found myself really enjoying the stories, but seeing that the books needed editing, and I found myself writing that in just about every review, edit, 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 because not having a well-edited manuscript tends to take the reader out of the story, and I was mostly reading fiction, and then it dawned on me, well, Michelle, just complaining about it doesn't help solve the problem. Maybe authors need someone to help edit their books at an affordable rate, and that's how I started the company.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to have you expound more on that right after this quick commercial break. Right here live on Tribe Family Channel's SAVE, Sisters Advocating Via Economics. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the host and creator of Tribe Family Channel, and my phenomenal guest, sister friend, is Michelle Berard, CEO, radio personality, and author. Right back after this.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
All right, welcome live back on SAVE, Sisters Advocating Via Economics. I'm Beverly Black, and we are live on Tribe Family Channel with my guest, Michelle Berard. Michelle, urban book editor, writing and editing, and you were expounding about finding yourself reading, reviewing, and writing on the material, edit, and you found it important that people have a good eye.
Yes.
I cannot express how important that is and how important it is if you are a writer, just write. Do not edit. Get a good editor. Michelle Berard is a good editor. I love the business of writing and everything that goes along with that, because for me, everyone has a story to tell. And as a publisher, I enjoy the fact that, first of all, if anyone is brave enough to come forward and tell their truth and walk in it, that in and of itself is huge. And then we all have these different, you know, stories on so many different levels and have overcome and endured and what have you. And I just know that everyone has a story to tell. We all have a story to tell. Tell our audience why you find it important not only to tell their stories, but why to trust their work in the hands of an editor, why it's so important to trust their hands in the work of an editor. Because most people feel like this is their baby and they know how to write it better than anyone. But why is it so important to have an editor?
Well, I mean, they do know their own stories. Nobody knows that story like you do. However, one of the challenges, and I experience this myself when I'm writing, one of the challenges is we have a sense of how things should be said, but when we put it on paper, it doesn't come out that way, 9 times out of 10. Like, you'll hear it in your brain a certain way, and you put it down on paper, and maybe it comes out much more convoluted than it needs to be. It's not as clear. And you want to use an editor because, number one, they're not invested in all of your words. Your words are your babies, right? And somebody made fun of me because in a writing workshop that I did back in Atlanta some time ago with another group of ladies, that was one of the things I said was, I know they're your babies, but sometimes you have to be willing to kill your babies in the case of these words, right? Because not having the right words or not having, or having too many words, having them structured in the wrong way, put together in a sentence the wrong way, makes it hard for your reader. And what you want is your story to flow to your reader. You want clarity. You want them to stay, particularly in the case of fiction or memoir, you want people to stay in your story and feel engaged. And I distinctly recall, this is actually one of the reasons I started the company. I was reviewing this particular book. So I'm reading it, and it was such a good story. I stayed up probably until 2 in the morning reading this book, and I had to be up to get to work at, you know, I was hitting the door at like 7:30 back in those days. And I kid you not, I stayed up all night, and then this one word just was driving me to distraction. So I remember grabbing the book on the way out the door, you know, after getting only a few hours of sleep, rushing to the office, and the first thing I did was boot up my computer and looked up this word. I said, I know this is the wrong word. He's using this word completely wrong. And it took me so far out of the story that I had to go look it up. It was driving me insane. And I know that most people aren't that way. But that's an example of how much just using the wrong word can take somebody out of your story. And what we know is that most people, when they stop reading your book, they do not pick it back up again. So if you want your story to be read, you want it to be smooth. You want it to be clear. You want it to be easy for your readers to enjoy. And that's why you need an editor.
You know, you said something that I've never heard, that, you know, when someone puts your book down, they don't pick it back up again. Now,
well,
ladies and gentlemen, you just...
Think about books that you've started and not finished.
Think of any.
Wow.
Beverly
finishes all
of
her books, but most people, if they start a book and they don't get through... at least to halfway, they don't finish the book.
Well, I won't say that I have finished all the books that I've started, but I will say that I haven't stopped reading any. Well, no, I can't even make that claim, because I have stopped reading many of books because of that very thing, the editing. Couldn't get past the mistakes. And this was, you know, as a publisher, for me, I feel like it's important that I read and know the work. And I have had a couple of clients that didn't feel editing was important. And it is so important that, I mean, my editor at that time, it was a cumbersome job. And it needed more editing than the client had signed on for. And at the advice of a deep, you know, edit, the client declined. And so you can actually, I didn't pick the book back up. So, you know, what you're saying is true in every sense of the word, because it's a turn off, and it's a huge turn off. And not only was my editor turned off by the editing, but she was turned off then by the writer. And so that's a double whammy, because then you don't have a return customer possibly to look at, you know, your subsequent books. And so it's very important to have an editor. And then it's also good to have someone with a different set of eyes, because sometimes even the best of us can make the mistake of assuming or inserting a word in our mind that we actually did not put in the manuscript. You know, we're not all seasoned in all things, and so it is very important to leave the work up to the professionals and to stay in our lanes. Even as a publisher, I am not the best editor. And you know that. You've learned that, and you've spoken about work that I've passed on to you, and I've had to let you know, oh, that's me. See, so if I, being the quote-unquote publisher that I am, need an editor, then hello, somebody. That is a benefit that we all can take advantage of. And so, listeners, you're tuned into Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics, and my guest is Michelle Berard. As you've heard, she has a plethora of entities, and we're discussing her business, Urban Book Editor. Now, I don't want to run out of time because there are a few other entities that I want to get to. As your website states that you turn side hustles into businesses. And so in that theme, continue with the side hustles, my sister, because I can't wait to hear about the others.
Well, one of the things I think happens with authors in particular is that they don't realize they're starting businesses. They think, oh, I'm publishing this book, and I'm going to sell a few copies, and some of them have really big aspirations, but they don't really always think of it in terms of I'm starting a business when, you know, I publish this book. Although I think over time, I'm getting more and more clients who do kind of understand that at the outset, and that there's more to this than just publishing a book and selling a few copies out of the trunk of your car. But even if you're selling this out of the trunk of your car, you've got a business. And so one of the things that I found myself doing over time was doing more coaching. So helping folks to understand what pieces are needed for them to publish their book, what pieces might be needed if they want to formalize this business. Obviously, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't advise them on the legal part. But, you know, that they need to go to their city or their county, their state, you know, and register appropriately, make sure that they've got all their money pieces in place, separate bank account, things like that, but also just the pieces for publishing. Do you want to get your book into the library, get a Library of Congress number, things like that. So What I find doing a lot is helping people with the coaching piece for the book. For that reason, I started the separate entity, Michelle and Berard LLC, mainly to deal with the coaching. But one of the other things that I do is there are people who want to start businesses and they don't really know what kind of business they start. So I help them discover their genius. You know, everybody has a genius. That's one of the things that Ruth always talks about, you know, the genius is common movement, which, you know, I love that concept. Everybody's got some genius, and the world needs it. And I think it's super important that we share that genius. If we don't, we're being a little selfish. You know, there's someone whose life you're meant to touch. There's someone whose life you can change by sharing what you know. And it might not seem critical, especially like right now they're talking about there are these, you know, important businesses, the ones that are mission critical, and then there are these others that are not so important. And I don't think that's really the case, right? So a barber or a beautician helps people feel more confident. It's not just about doing somebody's hair, right? It's what the feeling the person has. So all of these things are important. There's no such thing as a not important or not a business in a way. And so that's why it's important for people to figure out what their business is and figure out how they're going to share it with the world, and that's the other type of coaching that I do. And I think that it's really important, I think, for African Americans in particular, because so many times we are told that what we do is frivolous, you know, that we should be spending our time doing something more important. And then I'm thinking about people, what's the DJ that's doing the Instagram concerts? DJ D-Nice? DJ D-Nice, I think his name is. He's out here in LA. He's doing concerts on Instagram. Who would think that a DJ would be that important? But look at all the people who he's making feel better during this difficult time, right? So
Right.
I think it's really important.
Now, you're coming across a little garbly. I don't know if you changed position. Sorry to cut you off, sis, but you.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I don't know if you changed position. It's coming across a little garbly now.
Okay, I apologize. Hopefully it's not the Wi-Fi, hopefully.
Well, we're going to take a commercial break right quick anyway. And ladies and gentlemen, you're live on Tribe Family Channel's Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics. And I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator and the host. My guest, Michelle Berard. And she was just speaking about one of our sponsors, Genius is Common, Mr. Bruce George. So we want to shout out to Mr. Bruce George today, and we want to hear what Michelle has to say in evoking her genius as she does help people bring this out of themselves.
Hi, my name is Michelle Berard, and I'm the founder of Urban Book Editor, and I'm here to talk to you about why genius is common. I believe that genius is common because all of us have a story. And each of our stories, though unique, ties us to other people in other places. And that if we share our stories, we'll find out that we're more alike than we are different. And that's really important, especially nowadays, with what's going on in the United States and, in fact, around the world, all the division that we're experiencing. I think it's more important than ever that we share our stories, that we share our genius. With sharing those stories, we'll come to understand ourselves better. We'll come to understand other people better. And we'll see that we all want the same things. We all want to be happy. We all want to be loved. We all want to feel secure. And we all want a better future for our children. So I invite you to share your story and share your genius, because genius is common.
Welcome back to Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics, and that was Michelle Berard expressing her genius. I'm Beverly Black. This is live on Tribe Family Channel. Michelle, your genius is common, and it's uniquely tied to what was given to you, your gift. Would you like to expound further on any of the entities that are most prevalent and on the forefront as we get ready to wind down to the last few minutes of our show? And the idea, ladies and gentlemen, is to realize that the innovative part of ourselves is something that we can and should tap into. Our geniuses, our businesses, many businesses were formed on our kitchen tables, in the garage, by happenstance, born out of struggle, out of necessity, out of need, out of digging back through family history. There's all types of avenues and areas in which we can explore and find a new normal for ourselves. So I want to encourage our listeners to be innovative and be creative. So Michelle Berard, I can't believe how fast the time has flown by, but we're getting down to the last few minutes. So I want to know if there's anything else you want to let our listeners know. And we'll certainly be sure to get all of your contact information before we get out of here.
Well, thanks again for having me on the show, first of all. But I really just think people should spend a little time thinking about, especially right now, we've had, you know, I think they said 3.6 million people filed new unemployment requests in the last week or so, something to that effect. We've got about 30 million people out of work, I think, right now. It's time for people to really start figuring out a way that they can create something for themselves and for their children. Because, unfortunately, mind you, when there's a downturn, everybody suffers at some level. Everybody's business goes down at some point. And the question is, how can you bounce back more quickly, in my opinion? So there are a couple of things that I encourage. One is, of course, you want to have an entrepreneurial spirit in your job. I believe that if you exercise an entrepreneurial spirit in your job, you will see great success in your job. Not everybody's cut out to have a business per se, but you can have an entrepreneurial spirit in terms of looking for creative ways to solve problems. If you see a problem, what's a way that you could help solve it, particularly when businesses are always trying to save money and do things more efficiently? If you see a way to do that, make the suggestion. They may not accept your idea, but they'll see that you're thinking. They will always see that you're thinking about how you can help improve things. And that you can use those entrepreneurial ideas, these new concepts, your insight into that business and the things that you do there to help improve things for yourself and for the people you work with. But I think
that is a very good suggestion.
I think it's important, you know, because if we want to have if we want to maintain our jobs, right, when things are challenging, and mind you, there's some jobs that just went away because, like, for example, restaurants. They shut down all the restaurants. There's nothing you can do about that. But what if you're a cook? What if you're a chef at one of those restaurants? How can you then take those talents and use them to create a side business that might be able to carry your family through, albeit on a smaller budget initially, but it might be able to help carry your family through difficult times? I'm not saying that's the solution right now, because these are unprecedented for us in this modern time. But when we come back online and things start getting closer to whatever the new normal is going to be, I really hope that more people will start thinking about how they can use the talents they've learned, the talents and skills they've learned on the job, to create something that can help them and their families through tough times, but also create a legacy for the future. Because that's really what's important, particularly for African Americans. We need to start building intergenerational wealth, and most people aren't going to do it on a regular job.
You know, those are words of wisdom. And when I was in the work field, for me, that was something that was important, to engage myself in the company. Okay, this is, even if I didn't have the five-year goal of still being at the company, make the best of where I'm at while I'm there, and to have some insight and foresight into, if there's a problem, look for a solution, look for a way to, you know, offer suggestions and to really become a part of the working mechanism of the company, not, you know, of course, you're not the drive. Well, you're the driving force if you're part of the labor force, but to be part of the actual brains behind the operation. And that requires you to see things that, you know, the CEO may not be on the production floor or in the back room to see. And if you see it, like you said, at least they know that you're thinking. And when they know that you're thinking, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And if I'm running a company and I know that you care about my company and something that you bring to my attention, you become that much more valuable of an employee to me. And that's somebody that I will want to have around in my corner, someone that sees the things that I don't see and that do have a unified interest in mind. And so people can grow through the ranks. Just, you know, you can start off as the janitor and be the CEO and the CFO in a matter of time and perseverance. So it's about goal setting, but you really offer very enlightening suggestions for people to consider and to look at, especially because it's to say things will never be the same. But when you actually hear your suggestions and think about that whole concept, you really have to give some deep thought to finding a way of navigating and matriculating in this new normal, in this new landscape, and being aware and woke to some of the things that you said at the beginning of the show, and that is what's happening in the background as we all pay attention to the foreground. So, Michelle, we are down to the end of the show, and I really, really want to thank you, my sister, for being here. I could not wait to have this discussion, and I knew it was going to fly by, but where can others find you? I know where to find you, but where can our listeners connect with you, give them all your information, and where your next broadcast can be located and all the goods?
Okay. Well, first of all, again, thank you for having me on the show. It's always fun talking with you. And I like being able to share with your audience, you know, because I think that there are some things we as a community need to come together and talk about. So I'm hoping that we can inspire people to converse amongst themselves about these various things. You can find me at urbanbookeditor.com. That's urbanbookeditor.com. And you can also find me at michelleberard.com, michelleberard.com. And you can find me on social media. You can find me on social media under So, you know, that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, for the podcast, I have my podcast at the somewhere in the middle podcast.com. And the Shelter in Place live stream, like I said, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find us at Rebrandly, that's rebrandly.ly/shelter-in-place-livestream. And that one you're only going to find live right now. We are going to start uploading the recordings, but we want to make sure that we're on the right platform before we do that. So catch us live. And also what's cool about that is you can call in. You can use the Podbean app to call in from your phone or your iPad.
Awesome, awesome. Well, there are a few people that have been personally impacted by this pandemic that have come across my radar in our extended Radio Land family. We send our thoughts and prayers to all of those that have lost loved ones, and fortunately, we have not had the pandemic hit our respective close families and households, but we do, again, hold everyone up in our thoughts and prayers. We ask that you all stay safe and remain mindful, and please do visit michelleberard.com, stay in touch with her at urbanbookeditor.com, and visit her podcast to be informed, her live podcast. And you can also catch this pod or live at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand, and my home on the web is Gumbo for the Soul International.com, tribefamilychannel.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/tribefamilychannel, and on Twitter at tribefamilyus. So once again, Michelle, thank you so much, Queen. Stay safe. We'll be in touch soon, and our next broadcast for Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics, we will have a gentleman. His name is Stephen Hutchinson, and he is the CEO of powertax.com. And I want to thank you once again, Michelle, for being our guest and a sponsor of Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics. Until then, stay safe and be blessed. Talk soon. God bless.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna... Woo! get the best out of life, treat yourself to something new. Keep your head up high and yourself believe in you, believe in me. Having a really good time, I'm not complaining. Hey. And I'ma still wear a smile if it's raining. My lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it hot, keep it together if I want to get better. See, I won't change my life just by. I won't change my life. I ain't gonna let nothing get in my
about you feeling. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right. I ain't gonna let you kill it.